Recordings have started.
Great. Thanks, Aubrey. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all. Welcome to the Cross-Community Working Group on New GTLD's Auction Proceeds Call on the 23rd of February, 2017. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call as we have quite a few participants online. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. So if you're only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now? Great, thank you. Also, as a reminder...
Sorry, Elliot's only on the audio bridge.
All right, great, thank you. I'll note that. As a reminder to all participants, please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn the call back over to Jonathan Robinson.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to our meeting. I'll be chairing today's meeting. Your other co-chair, Ching Chao, is on the call with us, and I've worked with Ching, Marika, and the other staff to prepare the agenda and obviously work with the different materials in the run-up to the call. It's good to see that we've got a complete set of statements of interest and declaration of interest now complete. So we were having the concern that we may have to suspend participants who hadn't completed that formality, but that's no longer the case, so that's good to see. If you do have an update, and obviously in particular if it pertains to the work of this group at all, like you think there is any chance you'll be a future applicant for funding out of the auction pot, obviously most specifically, but if any other area of your work impacts on what might be a conflict of interest or perceived to be a conflict of interest in relation to this work, please do update those documents dynamically. So don't forget, we'll probably make a routine call just to say to remind you to keep those current. Reminding you again, we are planning to meet on a regular basis, and I'll come to that schedule in a moment. As far as our appointments are concerned, I think we have an update from the ALAC. Just checking if Alan is on, and Alan, if you are, Alan Greenberg, you can give us a quick update as to the status of the ALAC appointments to the group.
Yes, thank you very much. We have approved the five members, and I am one of them, and the other four are Sebastian Bachelet, Maureen Hilliard, Shona Dudeji, and Vonda Scardazzini. They had all previously been participants and have now been moved into the member category.
Yeah, great. That's wonderful. Thanks, Alan, and welcome to those members, now members. And we'll look forward to working with you. And I note from, I think, correspondence between yourself, the co-chairs, and staff, that there is no current intention to appoint a co-chair, but that may change in the future.
That is correct.
Right, thanks, Alan. So currently we have myself. As you know, I'll stand down shortly and be replaced by an alternate co-chair and Ching from the CCNSO. So my hope and expectation is that the GNSO will find, locate and appoint a co-chair in the very near future, and ideally that handover will take place at or around our next meeting, but one, so probably around the Copenhagen ICANN 58 meeting. There's a call out there, and if you know anyone who is a sort of informal call, if you like, an awareness that this is a requirement, so if you know anyone or believe that anyone would be particularly suited to the role, please do encourage them to make themselves known. I expect there'll be a formal call for applicants or for volunteers soon, and we should get this all tidied up. So just a couple of key points on the practicalities of the schedule. We are currently meeting at a fixed time, and I know we've had feedback from a couple of participants at least that this is a particularly awkward time for them, and that's acknowledged and understood. And what my sort of this is that we won't want to just do a mechanistic rotation, because that, whilst on paper that might look right, what we probably need to do is do something which is more nuanced than that. But we certainly recognize that for some people this is a horrible time, many at work, so we need to find a way of not always meeting at the same time, but rotating to accommodate those who are on the outer fringes of when this is convenient. So those inputs are noted, and if anyone else is particularly compromised by this and hasn't yet made themselves known to staff and the co-chairs, please do so, because we're going to do our best to set up a schedule that reasonably accommodates everyone who is, you know, obviously motivated to participate, and we don't want to prejudice participation by running at a particular time. So that's an ongoing open item that we hope to address shortly after our ICANN 58 meeting. I think those are the main sort of administrative points. Let me pause there in case either staff or my co-chair would like to remind us of anything else. And I see, Ching, you would like to do so, so let me pause and hand the mic over to you.
Thank you, Jonathan, and hi, this is Ching here. And probably we should also to remind the members and participants here, as we discuss in our prep call, is that it's, as you just mentioned, the GNSO is expected to appoint a new co-chair. And ideally by the Copenhagen meeting, in which the CCWG will have a face-to-face meeting in Copenhagen. So the ideal case is that the GNSO will have the new co-chair and will be helping out and step forward to chair the meeting. I think this group will still probably rely on your expertise, and we still need the continuity for the work of the group. So I would probably just put the caution here, and probably just to shoulder you more burden on you for Jonathan, is that we probably need you to chair for the Copenhagen meeting if the GNSO candidate is not fully prepared and ready for that. So just want to make a note on that.
Thanks, Ching, and I'll do my best to make a structured handover, so point taken, and make sure that things work smoothly for the group and the community as a whole. Just to a slight clarification on that point, there is whilst many of us will be in Copenhagen, so to that extent it will we'll get to meet in the same location. It's not technically a face-to-face meeting in the sense that we're not sponsoring a face-to-face meeting, but I expect that in practice many of us will be co-located in Copenhagen. But of course, anyone who's not there will be joining online as per usual, and we'll have the facilities in place to do that. Right, so getting then on to our next item in the agenda, which is really the work that we've done on the assessment of skills and expertise. This was actually very good participation, so thanks everyone. It's a really great start to see both the attendance on the calls, and I know we haven't got fully into the meat of things yet. There's been quite a lot of preparation, organizational work going on to get us up to speed, but over 40 of you from memory filled in this survey on skills and expertise, and I think it's a very useful way for both for co-chairs, staff, and members and participants and observers of the group to understand the lie of the land in terms of skills and expertise. Unsurprisingly, there was strong ICANN-related expertise, and then some other interesting came out of it. I think Mariko or staff will share something with us now, for those of you who haven't had an opportunity to look at it. I wonder if the graphical information is probably best. Let's just have a quick look at this and scroll down the document. Oh, I see. This is the graphical representation. So I hope many of you will have seen this. If you go right to the end of the document, you should have independent scrolling capabilities. And if you go right to the end of the document, I think, where is it that you see... you see a summary of the questions there on page 10, which shows you the questions posed and the percentage answers. You should be able to both page through the document and set up the scaling. You'll find about 150% scaling will get you, or at least it is on my screen, gets it reasonably full. Just to pause a moment, I don't know if Marika, you had intended to say anything. We didn't discuss specifically how we would present or discuss these results. I certainly wanted to make the group aware of them. Did you? Is there anything you wanted to say or any observations you wanted to provide, just to give you a moment to check?
Yes, this is Marika. Just to know that you know, we've got responses from 43 members and participants, and it doesn't necessarily equate to everyone that's in the CCWD, but probably does represent a good cross-section of those that are involved here. And I think, at least from my perspective, it's encouraging to see that in almost all the categories, there is at least one person that has identified themselves as an expert. Just to note as well, I think there's still some people that actually haven't completed that. I think Samantha, for example, that's also participating in this effort, although I know that she couldn't make this call to this week as I think she was traveling, hasn't filled this out yet, and I think she may have as well some relevant expertise from a legal perspective. And then we had also suggested to the CCWG that Sarah Burke would fill out the form. She may also bring some additional expertise to the table. I just want to reaffirm there as well, as I noted earlier in the email, the idea is that indeed this expertise is available to the CCWG should you want to make use of it. I think this effort is trying to identify who has relevant expertise and to be able to call upon that expertise. And in certain cases, you may want to hear different opinions or different viewpoints. But obviously, there's no obligation whatsoever to call upon any of the experts that are identified from that are either on staff or working with staff, or you know, similarly, of course, those that are identified within the group. Or we also have, of course, this other list available that identifies potential external experts that could be consulted on specific questions or issues. So, as I said, I think it's at least from my perspective, comforting to see that there's so much expertise available within the CCWG. But of course, it's up to you to review whether you believe whether that is sufficient or whether there is significant expertise that is missing, that either you want to do another call within the CCWG members and participants to highlight that you would like to know if people have specific expertise in a certain area, or whether indeed there's then a further need to look externally and also, as I said, at the list of people that have already been identified in the Google document to see whether they may be able to bring some of that expertise that you believe may be missing to the CCWG if and when needed.
So thanks, Marika. And just noting Erica's question in the chat. So let's put this in a little bit more context then. What we sought to do here is, I mean, we've essentially got a group of volunteers with a varying set of skills, dealing with a problem, as you well know, it's well articulated in the charter, to set up this mechanism or process that can then be used to deal with the disbursement of the new GTLD auction funds. What isn't clear to all of us at face value is A, what level of expertise exists within the group relevant to this particular subject matter, and B, to what extent we need external help and assistance with this job, given that we are all, in quotes, volunteers with various skill sets and capabilities. So we felt and we talked with the group about conducting a survey where there was a form of self-certification or voluntary provision of information on expertise, and it's not entirely objective. It's not measured against exactly the same parameters in each case. It's just simply individuals self-certifying a degree of expertise on a scale of 1 to 5 on a given set of questions. So you'll see those. If you go to page 9, you'll see those questions down the left-hand column, which say, you know, what's your knowledge of ICANN? What's your understanding and needs of the internet community that I can serve? And so those are sort of broader community-based questions. And then it goes into detailed points like, you know, what knowledge or have you got of fund management or trust management or financial planning or taxation or detailed points. And the idea was to to both get people thinking about their own expertise and also sharing that thinking with the rest of the group, such that the group would then be in a position to self, to better evaluate what level of help we need to bring into the group, whether that's paid or voluntary, to assist. And, you know, now you've seen from the recent discussion and from the point that Marika made a moment ago, we have, for example, on ICANN staff, we've got legal expertise. We have this possibility of engaging with in some way or another Sarah Berg that Marika's mentioned, who ICANN organization, the board, the staff have contracted as a source of expert knowledge, independent expert knowledge on related topics. We have the prospect of dealing, as we've talked about a couple of times, with CC or other CC operators or other members of our community who may have themselves set up some form of charitable or other foundation, fund disbursement organization. So it's really what the purpose of this is, to both self-evaluate our skills and capability and get an ability to decide when and if we need expert or additional input. So I guess the question to the group at this stage is that's the outcomes. They are summarized on that table in number form on that table on page 10, and you can see, like I said, you've got around 75% of the group qualifying themselves as having good advanced or expert ICANN knowledge. But when you go down to something like taxation, understandably, but it's useful to see it in this way, you're ending up with around 13.5% of the group having advanced or expert knowledge. Similarly with legal, similarly with fund management. And so it becomes clear that in some of the key areas, it will make sense to have external expertise. And then the judgment call is going to be when and if to bring that in. So I guess right now we don't have to have significant input on this, but if anyone's got any comments on how and when we engage expert input, and one of the ideas I had that we talked about, I think, at the last meeting was the prospect of having a rolling program of input just to stimulate, you know, something like 15 to 20 minutes at the beginning of each call with some form of expert input. So any thoughts or comments on that would be most welcome. And I see a couple of hands up, so I'll go first to Vanda. Please come in, Vanda.
Okay, thank you. My point is, I believe we need to start working on the process and discuss points before we get some help. Because during the discussion of those processes, we may find out which kind of knowledge we need to proceed. That's my point. I believe I know a lot of those people. We have a very wide information and knowledge about many issues. So that could fill all the holes that we can find inside the process we are going to make. But maybe during the process, it will be important to have an external voice to just fill some roles that we're going to find there. So that's my point. Let's start. And during the process, we know we have this person that is a high qualified, Sarah. So if we need in some point, but not now, we need to start now. Thank you.
And thanks, Vanda. And so that's mostly consistent with where we are right now. And just to make before we go to the next input, just to make two key points here. One is that... We have a provisional work schedule, and one of the things I'm going to talk with you about in the next topic is perhaps quite a fast first pass over all of the questions, which is will be consistent with what you're saying. And the second point, in other words, we'll make an initial pass over all of the charter questions and understand, and not necessarily in the order which they were presented, and understand where perhaps we have shortcomings or need for expert knowledge. So that is consistent with what you're saying. The second is, in 1 week's time, we will get some expert knowledge and expertise in the form of Samantha Eisner from ICANN Legal, presenting to us on legal and fiduciary constraints on the work of this group. So I think that will be a requirement up front, and we'll take that, and that's planned for 1 week from now. Go ahead, Erica Mann. Erica, you're next up.
Thank you, Jonathan. I think it is, since we have already a work plan for the next calls, I think it would be good to try to understand the areas where we need outside expertise. And I'm very grateful for the work already done. So I think we need to evaluate the survey, the outcome of the survey, and then we need to see what kind of outside expertise is needed and how we want to get there. Maybe we need a second call and asking, and I thought we did this already, but maybe my memory is wrong. But maybe asking all the people which are participating in this call maybe to then evaluate the missing part and to put name forwards for experts they have worked with in the past. And we might reach out to other people as well. That we have next time some on the call, I think it's extremely important. I like the idea that we maybe for two, three more calls, maybe we stay within this group and discuss how we want to proceed with inviting outside expertise. So it's good to have some next time. I wonder if we need maybe to have Xavier as well, somebody from finance and from audit. Could be a good advice as well, maybe to ask Xavier to join us. Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Thanks, Erica. So, yeah, I mean, there's a very, very specific purpose to next week's call when Sam joins, and it's specifically to get that legal and fiduciary knowledge imparted to the group and have a sort of Q&A on that session. So she's not simply joining our call; she's coming in to give us a decent overview of those issues. You're right, we do have a work plan, but it's a draft work plan, and in fact, we will talk about that in some more detail in the next item on the agenda, and so it'll be helpful to get feedback and input into that work plan, because one of the things that I and we as the sort of leadership group and staff have been grappling with is the pace with which we go through the charter questions in the first instance. And you'll see in that work plan, when we start to do the detailed work on a per-question basis, one of the key questions is, does this need expert input, you know, and do we feel right away that this is something we need expert input? So we're going to build that up as we work through the work plan. But thanks for your input, Erica. And let's go then next on to Matthew Veal. Matthew?
Thank you, Jonathan. So this is Matthew Veal speaking from the CCNA. So I think my point is clearly a follow-up to Erica's, and it's clearly related to the work plan discussion that we're going to have later. But I think whatever the composition of our group's expertise, external experts do have very distinct values in different phases of our project. And I would argue that we need to be very careful to distinguish between a phase where we will discuss on the requirements of what we want to do, and our challenge there is going to be to find a consensus amongst ourselves and a broad and diverse group with probably many different ideas about what we are trying to achieve. So this is not the part where experts bring definitive answers but rather experts can broaden our views by sharing other experience from outside ICANN or outside our industry, provide benchmarks. And then once we have agreed on requirements, then we will move into a more concrete phase of solution building, assessing whether there are unintended consequences of our solutions and so on. And that's where external experts bring a number of values by their topical expertise. So I think I would really encourage us to link this question of where do we need experts to a question about when and for what purpose do we need experts depending on the phases of our work plan, because we need to be very clear on that with the experts themselves, that their primary value in a community-driven process is to help us build the requirements we have consensus upon and not sell us something or shape our community consensus building process. Thank you.
Thanks, Mathieu. That's helpful input. I'll pass the mic straight on to Alan Greenberg, who's next in line after you. And Eric, if that's an old hand, if you could drop it. Otherwise, I'll come to you again. Thanks.
Thank you, Jonathan. I certainly agree that the need for experts is going to vary depending on what aspect part of our work we're looking at. And the first, hopefully pretty quick, pass at it should help delineate that. I don't think I agree with Mathieu, though, that first we have to make our decisions and then get expertise. I think there are going to be some phases where having someone brief us ahead of time on, you know, what can work, what can't work, may stop us from going down dead alleys. There's no point in us coming to decisions and then being told there's some gotchas you didn't think about. So I don't think it's quite as clean as Mathieu was suggesting. The reason I put my hand up, however, is on a different aspect. I wasn't aware, and maybe I'm just oblivious, that there were funds allocated for us to use for experts for this process. The appointment, which was just announced, contracting with an expert would just announce, which I presume is a paid consultation, changes that dynamic a little bit, and I'd like to understand what the constraints are. Clearly, we're not looking to spend $20 million as other CCWGs have in the recent past, but I would like to understand what kind of constraints we're under, as to what extent we must find free experts and what, to what extent we could pay people under the right circumstances. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. I think I could, since I saw Marika's hand go up in response, I'll defer to her.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. This is Marika. I think actually your answer in the chat is also what I wanted to know. There is indeed no specific budget for external expertise allocated at this stage. And as such, and that's also what the charter identified, is that it's the expectation that the CCWG at a very early stage identified whether they believe indeed additional resources are needed, whether that's in the form of external experts or otherwise, but also to know that, you know, for example, some of the external experts that have been identified already today do not necessarily require funds to provide their expertise. It's also, of course, a matter of thinking through how to engage with some of these people, and it may not always be a cost element to it. As said, you know, we internally can then evaluate based on what is identified to see whether there are funds available within our current budgets. You know, we do sometimes have some funds set aside, for example, to conduct research or have some external expertise, but that, of course, is more on a limited scale. If it goes beyond to a larger scale, that is something that will need to go through the different steps of approval and consideration. Just to note again, and I think I was hoping that was made clear as well in the email, you know, the Sarah Burke contracting, that's really on a limited basis, on a, you know, when is needed. That is for the purpose of, you know, ICANN internal. She has not been contracted to support the CCWG, but as we've indicated, it would be possible to make her expertise available, you know, for specific questions the CCWG may have if you think that is useful. So it shouldn't be confused with someone that has been hired as an external expert to full-time support this effort. That is not what that agreement is about.
Yeah, so thanks, Marika. And notwithstanding Mathieu's points and others about, you know, how we need to be careful when we sequence and expect that external expertise may be appropriate, one of the reasons, and it's not the sole driver at all, but one of the reasons why it might be sensible in our first pass over the charter questions to ask the question, do we think external expertise is required on this point? And as Marika said, that may not be necessarily incur directly attributable financial costs. For example, the group will not be billed as such for Sam Eisner's expert input when we meet next week. But nevertheless, taking that first pass and trying to flush out any expert requirements will help shape our thinking and possibly even so far as thinking about whether or not we need to make any kind of budget request at this point to support work on one or more charter questions. So that's certainly a potential benefit from asking that sub-question as we pass over the charter questions for the first pass. Douglas, you've been patient. Please come in with your points or thoughts. Douglas, if you do want to speak, your microphone looks like it's on soft mute. It's on mute within the Adobe at the moment, so you need to, that's it. You look like you've released it now. Please come in. Seeing, hearing from Douglas at the moment, there may be some kind of technical problem with the audio, so we will come back to you, Douglas, when it's possible for you to talk. And in the meantime, if it suits you, please feel free to put a comment in the chat and just note some of the other discussion there about the possibility of getting Elliot's point about bringing in, I think, Sarah Berg for a presentation. Personally, I'm in favor of that kind of approach. I'd love to see some ad hoc, or not quite ad hoc, but input from one or more experts on a reasonably regular basis. So I find that quite attractive, just to continually educate the group and give us benefit of experience. And then I won't try and track all of the chat, just noting that there's some active discussion there, and please try and keep an eye on that as well. Okay, so I don't know how much more we can do on this. I think that's been some very useful input, and we will touch on it again as we come into the next item on the agenda. But certainly I see that one thing that could be controversial is this discussion about whether any expenditure to support the work of this group comes out of the auction fund. So, you know, John's put that in. I see that Elliot's... And apparently others support this, so be aware of that point. And then Marika says she believes there is no existing ICANN budget, say, for the operating costs of the staff supporting this and so on. I'm sorry, Elliot, I see you disagree. This is the danger of trying to... I see the minus one. I didn't... yeah, all right. Not always easy to track this. Yeah, and I think all of us are—I don't want to use too much of an emotive word—but all of us the size of the expenditure in and around the IANA transition shocked all of us to lesser or greater extent, and so we are all very mindful of the potential to incur expense using outside expertise. But as Marika helpfully pointed out, it doesn't necessarily need to incur expertise to get I see John and Elliot actually agree. So it's hard to track multiple things at once, which is why I'm reluctant to summarize the chat. All right, go ahead, Marika, and then we'll move on.
This is Marika. So just if I may make a last point on this, just to note as well that, for example, within a GNSO context, we usually have some funds set aside that are enable certain working groups if they identify that there's a specific narrow scope question they need external expertise on. So that may not specifically be earmarked as for a specific PDP working group, but it's a little bit of funds that can be used for research or external expertise as needed. So I just want to reassure the group if something like that is identified that's very limited in scope, that is probably something that we would be able to fund within the existing resources, even without having this specifically allocated to this project. But I think the question is really indeed if you believe it's going much broader than a narrow scope external, then is indeed where you need to have the conversation and identify what kind of budget is needed. Although I recognize as well that at this stage it may be difficult to do so, and maybe something indeed through the course of our work it will become more clear and in which direction that goes.
Okay, thanks. So we're in danger of it being a little hypothetical at this stage. Right now, we don't have a specific substantial pool available for the use of external expertise. There may be ad hoc money to be available on a basis when and if it's needed, and we need to cross that bridge when we come to it. And there are probably differing views as to whether any funding required to support the development work of this group should come from the actual auction pot or not. But we won't try and resolve that question now. Okay, so that's really a good initial view of both the external expertise question and also the summary of expertise and knowledge within the group. I'd encourage all of you to look over that survey in as much detail as you can so you're familiar with both the knowledge and expertise and shortfalls of that same knowledge and expertise in the group so you can properly assist with any discussions when it comes to selecting specific expertise and or suggesting who we might get in to simply present to the group to enhance our collective overall knowledge. Okay, let's take that as an opportunity then to move on to item 4, which is where we'll review this initial work plan and start to have a look at how that shapes up. I think the first document we should look at is probably the sequential work plan, which really looks at getting us going. This work plan, the way this is structured at present is, as you might have seen from the email comment that I think it was Daniel put into the mailing list earlier, this simply takes the briefing next week and then starts to systematically go through the charter questions one by one. Currently, they are presented in the order in which they appear in the charter. And the suggestion on email, which looked very concrete and interesting, was to break them, was to cluster those questions a little more and think about them as forming in some kind of themes. There's a second point, and this is what would be very good to get your feedback on and discuss, is it seems that, to me at least, it may make sense to go through all of the questions, possibly using some kind of survey tool again at a high level, and this is where you'll see the mind map on the per question basis or the little illustration where we can go through and say, is this a gating question? Do we really need to deal with this up front? Again, do we need expert input and so on? And you will have seen that document as well, which will flash up in front of you in a moment, and then we can take your feedback on this. You've got this prospective sequential working systematically through the charter questions in an order to be determined, and we have a suggestion on that order from the email list today. And then now you'll see in front of you in the document a potential mechanism for a fast or quick look mechanism at all of the charter questions in the first instance. And here you'll see the sub-questions say, okay, is this a gating question? Do we really need to resolve this up front? Because this is a fork in the road. And actually, arguably, number one is such a question, and we can talk about that perhaps in a little more detail if anyone's got any points on that. And then, are there key sub-questions that need to be fleshed out? If so, what are they? Is this a question that up front needs external input? And then are there initial responses? Now, we started a document of initial responses. So I guess the question to the group is, how do you – any comments on these two prospective work plans? One is a systematic and methodical work through all of the charter questions and sort of bashing out answers on a case-by-case basis. The related point is, well, in what order do we do them? Have you seen that email that came out from Daniel suggesting that we actually order them a little differently and cluster them? And then the third is, what about doing a fast pass, possibly even using a survey tool again, which may be a very neat way of doing it, in the form that you see in front of you now? So any thoughts or responses from anyone would be most welcome at this stage on the work plan and your thoughts on that. So I've got Hadia, your hand is up. So if you are able to come in on audio, please do so now.
I just think that we need to clarify each question more or each elaborate on each question or each item more. For example, where do the methods of funding fall under? And by the methods of funding, I mean will funding delivery be through loans, grants, awards, ring fencing, the criteria? I think we need to elaborate on each item first. And then maybe answer the rest of the questions you put.
Okay, thanks, Hadi. I'm going to look if that does come out in the. I'm just thinking about if that comes out in the charter questions in any event at some point. But looking at the chat, please do come in on audio if you want to contribute as well. I see Elliot seems positive, I think, about the first pass suggestion. And then Becky highlights the sort of overarching goals and purpose for which the auction proceeds should be dispersed. Matthew's supportive of the reordering. And the survey. So let me put that out. So the straw man, if you like, that we're working around, and I'll come to you, Manal, in just one moment. The straw man that we're kind of working around at this stage is a quick pass to try and understand some more detail about the question. So we've all given ourselves a decent view of all of the questions, possibly using a survey, certainly looking at reordering them along the lines that suggested, and then go back to a systematic deep dive through each of the questions. So that's the sort of proposed work plan. Manal, do come in now. Manal, your mic is showing it being on mute still in Adobe, so if you can unmute it within Adobe, that would be good, unless you're on a telephone line. So it does sound like the goals and purpose, as suggested by Becky, is part of that. So it would be is something that's capturing some of your attention. So you've seen the way in which she proposed to break down each question on a question by question basis. Gating questions, sub questions, and in fact, those may well some of the key points like the suggestion just made by Becky, might come out of that, because it is a gating question, and what are the sub-questions should hopefully come out of some of those. But I see others highlighting this point about the sort of overarching goals and objectives. So I think we could run those in parallel. We could do our first pass on the charter questions and do some parallel work on the overarching goals and purposes. Yes, Manal, it would be good if you could take the floor. So I did ask on audio, and I apologize if it was in some way unclear. So please do come in now if you'd like to make your point.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'm very sorry that the voice was breaking. I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry. And I consider this my very first call, so apologies if this point has already been addressed or if I'm asking something that has already been discussed. So is the first question supposed to cover everything else in all other questions? Because I can see one of the boxes here saying, are there any sub-questions? Does question need to be further fleshed out? So I was just wondering whether we should also add to the selection and ranking also the allocation. And here I mean the allocation of funds. What the criteria for allocating the funds? Is there a maximum amount that should not be exceeded? Should the fund be disbursed one time or on divisions? Does the figure make sense? I mean, criteria that have to do with the fund itself, not the entity or the body requesting the fund. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Manal. You were a little soft to me, so I will make sure that I guess a key point there was, what are the allocation criteria, and does this, if I understood you correctly, how much does this question that's currently displayed cover what we are hoping to look at? So let me be clear. As Erica pointed out in the chat, there are some principles covered in the charter, and should remind everyone to look at those and be familiar with those. There are a set of, around about a dozen questions that the charter expects the group to answer. And what you see in front of you in the Adobe Connect now, and we'll switch to those questions in a moment, actually. I think it'll be useful to put those up. But what you see in the Adobe Connect at the moment is the first of those questions, which probably should remain as the first question, but maybe not as we reorder it, and some proposed sub-questions that will form part of a high-level first pass survey, if you like, of the charter questions. So the idea being that we go through all 12 or 13 questions utilizing a survey tool and ask these four or so sub-questions that are on the right at the top of your screen in the center panel on a per-question basis, and really try and make sure that we've either covered everything, and as Marika suggests in the chat there, we could also ask what additional questions which would cover this overarching scope and goals if it hasn't already been covered. Yes, and Manal, take your point that so here your point is on allocation, and should this be added, well, of course, that the opportunity to do that is in the survey, and so it's a good point. So under the second thing where we say, are there any sub-questions or does this question need to be further flushed out? Yes, your suggestion there, would make sense there. So I'm not specifically asking for that detail to be flushed out on this call, but rather making sure we've got a mechanism to make some reasonable progress first, because as I think Elliot pointed out earlier, we do know how we can all get caught up in some quite substantial process points if we're not careful. So this is really trying to find a way in which we have a systematic first pass over the charter questions and flush out the key issues that we're going to have to deal with as we do that. And well, thank you for your input, Manal, acknowledging that. Okay, Marika, if you could switch then to the 11 or 12 questions so that everyone can see those. And I think we are getting, and then I noticed Hadia points to the clustering and recognizing that that may be a useful way of doing things. So just to clarify, these, as they are presented to you now, these 10 questions in the format of a mind map are in the order in which they currently appear in the charter. And on that question 9, where there are three sub-questions, those are three sub-questions posed in the charter itself. So really those you could see those as part of the number 9 bubble. Right, so Ching, go ahead with your comment or input.
Thank you, Jonathan. So I think one clarification probably needed as well for the members and the participants is that on the previous slide, the example actually given is the four sub-questions about the each individual charter questions, asking if there's further clarifications or is it a gating question. And on this current example on question 9, we are asking, I think those are three further questions, probably goes beyond or actually it's relevant to number, this question number 9. So are we talking about maybe spending some time just between the staff or with potentially with all the members of the of developing such questions, or are you or some members are suggesting that we will be using the previous previous format of that particular four questions, asking number 1, is this a gating question? Number 2, do we have an immediate response for the questions? So or some members probably just trying to capture what needs to be done here.
Okay, Ching, I hope I'll answer this effectively. Please come back to me if I don't. But the way sort of currently putting it to the group that we will do this is these 10 questions you see in front of you now, we will build these up into a survey of the group, and we will put under each of those 10 questions the four questions that you saw on item 1 previously, the example of item 1 previously, and ask those four questions of the group. Is this a gating factor? Does it require external expertise? Are there additional questions that should be asked underneath this? And I'm forgetting the fourth one for a moment, but that's the idea. So we'll take that through, and what that will do for the group is, and do you have any suggested answers at this point? Do you have any responses at this point to the charter question? So what it will do is ideally build up a quick and, if you like, a quick and initial pass over all of the charter questions. I think what that attempts to do is make sure that we don't go down a particular rabbit hole or get strongly distracted by one question, and also one question which may or may not be a gating factor. So let me give a practical example of a gating factor, and I'd actually really tempted to poll the group on this in some way. I mean, there's a polling function on Adobe, but you may have a view that it would be most financially effective for this mechanism to be set up within ICANN's existing staff and operational structure. Or you may equally have a view that there's no way that should happen, and this kind of thing should definitely be outsourced. It's not within ICANN's core competence, and if the group felt really strongly about one or other of those, there'd be a fork in the road there that we could quickly get past. If not, it's an area that we have to discuss in some detail and understand what the different groups' experiences are. So that's an example of where a first pass might highlight for us rather quickly some key elements of where there might be forks in the road. Thanks, Ching. John Nevitt, I'm not sure I understand what the four questions, why is this fund different from all other funds? I'm not sure I understand that point, so maybe you could clarify that a little. Okay. All right. When you're concentrating, you sometimes lose your sense of humor. All right. So that's really the proposed mechanism. Any reservations, any major concerns? Because if not, I suspect that's the route we'll start to go down. We'll build up that survey with these charter questions in a different order, some form of clustering, and start to think about that as our mechanism for working through them, both when we do the systematic long pass through them, but also for the initial short pass using the survey. And so that's really the work mechanism proposed. Any other feedback, thoughts, comments on that? All right. We'll work with that process in mind then. So I would like someone to remind me if there's any more work to be done here, because it feels to me like we have a good initial discussion around the issue of external expertise, a good initial discussion and a way forward on the work plan, a plan for our next meeting where we get our first external expertise in a kind of formal sense, and a plan to meet with as many of us in person as practical in Copenhagen in a few weeks' time. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. Maybe just a note on the draft work plan that outline meetings from Copenhagen. Jonathan already mentioned that one thing that may need to be reviewed is the timing of the calls and see whether rotation needs to be built in. But of course, something that the CCWG may also need to consider. And again, it may only be possible after having done that first high level pass, which may give a better idea of you know, where the focus of work will be, or you know, where there may already be relative agreement or not, is indeed to set a kind of target. I think that the current target in the draft work plan is to have an initial report by the end of the year. I think, as I noted as well, in the draft work plan, of course, you know, at some point, if you believe that it's taking too long or that it's too short, we can, of course, modify that. And, of course, there are ways as well in which the working group could consider changing the pace of work by, for example, going to longer meetings or weekly meetings. But as I said, this is a draft that outlines at least currently in a kind of sequence, but obviously it will need to be updated once you've gone through your first pass, a high-level pass, to get a better sense of you know, which questions may need further work and which ones may not.
Thanks, Marika. And I think that's something that others in the group might want to think about. As this work plan, this initial draft of the work plan starts to crystallize, and it's clear it's already been reshaped a little by this meeting in the sense that the sequence will change and we're likely to require probably a couple of meetings to deal with, two or three meetings to deal with this first pass, this initial view of the charter questions. But one of the things that certainly seems to I would encourage people to start thinking about is how they feel about any kind of time-based goals. You know, are we prepared for this work to take as long as necessary, or do we feel there's a certain time constraint to get things done, or we'd like to push ourselves towards certain goals, which, of course, might impact things like the frequency and length of the meeting. So I think that'd be very useful thing to do. So, Danielle, just to answer your question on face-to-face, I mean, this has a particular meaning in our context. So the way we plan to meet is like this. using Adobe Connect with dial-out and live audio and so on. We will hold these kind of meetings at, I expect, every ICANN meeting. So we have ICANN 58 in Copenhagen, 59 in Johannesburg, and 60 in Abu Dhabi. And I expect that we will have at least one meeting at coincident with each of those ICANN meetings. In the formal sense, those are not face-to-face meetings, in the sense that there is no funding to bring the group of members together face-to-face, and there is no plan to do that. So whilst we'll benefit from meeting coincident with an ICANN meeting, there is no plan to fund actual group travel. But in practice, it will end up being, you know, a high percentage of people, of members and participants in the same place. So in many ways will be analogous to a face-to-face meeting, but not technically a face-to-face meeting. And Marika makes the point that given the new meeting structure, arguably ICANN 59 is not a policy meeting. But Marika, I don't think that contradicts what I've said a moment ago in any event. We can still meet coincident with the meeting, and to the extent that those who are active in ICANN policy-related work are in the same place, there will be some likely benefit from that. And Nadira asked if this initial survey is to be combined with a group expertise in mind. Nadira, right now I don't have a crisp idea of how to synthesize these two bits of data, but clearly what you have is now, as we go through the second piece of reasonably substantial work, as we pass through the questions once, when we ask the question on a per charter question basis, is external expertise required? We all collectively have the knowledge of the level of expertise within the group, or at least the 43 respondents from the group. So to that extent, they are combined immediately because we have some knowledge. But right now, I haven't got a further idea of how we'll better combine them. All right. I think there's still a little bit of active chat going on about the meeting and so on, but I think we've got a pretty good idea. And for those of you who aren't sure, look at the Copenhagen schedule. You'll see where we are at this meeting and so on. So just to confirm with you then, and apologies particularly to, I think, Sylvia and possibly Rafiq, who've responded that this time already is not a good time for them, and that's fully and publicly acknowledged, but given the current schedule, the next meeting is scheduled to take place on Thursday, 2nd of March, and that is when we'll be receiving the input from Samantha Eisner on the legal and fiduciary constraints. So with that, I think we're coming to an end. And just to comment on the time as a final comment, this meeting set for a nominal 90 minutes. I think it's our goal to work between 60 and 90 minutes. Ideally, we'll get it done in 60 minutes, and this seems to be a productive amount of time, but we have up to a half-hour runover if it's necessary for particular reasons. So, again, that's another thing you might want to provide guidance on lists or your thoughts as to the requirements for 60, 90, or even longer. But currently we're working within a 90-minute slot and looking to run a 60-minute meeting within that. So if you have a different view and you think it should be done or handled differently, or we need more time, please do say so. So thanks very much, everyone. Thanks for your participation. We'll compile up these questions into a form of a survey with those sub-questions, and please be active on the list. It's great to have such an active group, and things like the clustering of the questions will be an active topic of discussion. All right, thanks again. We'll see you in a week's time when we hear from Sam Eisner, and then not too long after that, coincident with the ICANN 58 in Copenhagen. Thanks again, everyone, and thanks to staff for your help in facilitating and making this happen.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you. The meeting has been adjourned. Operator, recording for us, and disconnect all remaining lines.